And our next presentation is Lead Me Out to the Ballgame, a study investigating the leadership of MLB managers. We have with us today Dr. Rebecca Herman from San Diego. Everybody give her a hand.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for getting up nice and early. Very happy to have you here. And I did have a co-author on this project, Howard Farrell. He wasn't able to be with us this weekend, but want to give credit. He lives in Connecticut. I live in San Diego. That really helped us in our research project. As you know, baseball is pretty widespread across the country, so it really helped. So it's bright and early. We only have 20 minutes. Who's most interested in nitty-gritty research? Or who's most interested more about the pillars and what we found out? Or who wants more like stories and stuff? So is there any preference? Stories? We'll skip through the research then. Let's do that. So, I like to customize it for whatever we want to do. All right, that's great. Well, we'll do the, just to say how we got started, we did have to make sure I'm honoring our abstract, is that we did do a triangulation project. We had a standardized questionnaire we designed based on all the literature and the leadership research. We did managers, players, coaches. We also did quite a bit of media because they were hanging around. A lot of our research was done at spring training because that really was a really nice concentrated way to get everybody. So we got quite a few of media personnel. We had quite a bit of observation as well. For example, my day, my typical day with the team would be arrive at 6 in the morning, watch the field get ready, then I'd be in the clubhouse by 6:30 or 7 in the morning as the guys would be coming in to get ready for the day, go to the team meeting, and then I would interview the players during their their office hours in the clubhouse, which is what they call it. And then I'd usually have a meeting with the manager. I'd go out for practice in the field. I'd be on the field with them for practice, observing, seeing how they're interacting, what's really going on. Do they walk and talk, say what they do, in real time? And then we would have another meeting. Typically, there'd be the media meeting. We would have another follow-up with the manager or some other people on the team. And then there'd be game time, and I would usually sit in the press box, so I could also talk to press folks while we're in the press box. So, and then the post-game interviews afterwards. So it was usually about a 14, 15-hour day, but it was phenomenal. I'm sure everybody in this room would love to do that as well. So that's how it worked. We also went back and looked at former documentation. There's tons of records, as we all know in this room. Had a great time doing interviews. There's a few of the candid shots we caught with some of the managers as we were going along. Certainly some people were really a blast to be with, I'll just say. So they were really, really fun guys and entertaining. And I felt very honored and privileged to have the opportunity to spend time with some of the really great minds in baseball at this point in time. For evidence, we won't get into all that, but we used a qualitative analysis approach to go with our research. We used Deduce. It's an online software that uses qualitative. It helped because we were on two different coasts, and that way we had real-time access to the data. Used ground-up theoretical, and I know my host here is getting ready to start his PhD program, so he'll get into all that stuff very soon. Coding, themes, frequency, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, here's what we came up with when it was all said and done, and we looked at all the keywords and what happened, and all the stories they told, and trying to extract what they were really saying to us based on what we asked them and what people were telling us. And it really came out to be three pillars in general. One is about leading yourself, and that really came out. We heard it from managers, players over and over again, that before you can lead someone else, we must first lead ourselves. And I think that's a really good lesson for everyone, baseball or not. So that really has a lot of applicability. And those are the areas we found that were most applicable for leading yourself is you gotta have passion, you need to lead by example, big, big thing that came up a lot in our baseball interviews, and you have to earn respect, the title doesn't give it to you. The next pillar was leading others. Obviously leadership, you can't, I think I've heard someone say before, if you're not leading others, you're just taking a walk, so you're taking a walk alone.
So you got to know your people. It's relationships. Cultivate relationships. Support your people. Communicate effectively. And finally, we all know that a lot of times, especially like in baseball or even in corporate management, it's about the game. It's about the business. But too often, people get positions based on just their, maybe their batting average, but maybe they're not that good team component in the clubhouse. They might be what I've heard referred to as a cancer in the clubhouse. Or maybe in the workplace, it's the same thing. You may have this great expertise, but you really can't lead anyone to getting anything done. So that's kind of where the whole beating the game. You've got to know the game. You need the expertise. You need the experience. But can you foster teamwork? Do you really make people want to work together? Because that all together creates your winning culture. So we decided that since it was kind of the whole baseball thing, leading out to the ball game and everything else, we decided to look at it as a baseball diamond. And we're taking this into the business workplace, to be honest. And we're trying to help people understand how they can use the baseball diamond and all the stories through Major League Baseball to really understand leadership and how they can also lead like a big league manager. How can they be a major league leader in their own workplace, with their families, with anything? You can, and most people can visualize, even if they're not like us in this room that are huge baseball fans, most people have been to a baseball park, have seen a baseball diamond, even if it's at the little league level. So we can envision the ball diamond as our environment, whether it's our home, whether it's our workplace, or whether it is actually baseball. So that's how we look at the diamond. So the first part about leading yourself, since it's the beginning, we kind of, if you think about how the game works, you come out of the dugout first, right? So before you even have the motivation to leave the dugout, you've got to have some passion to do it, because passion moves us on a daily basis. That's what we learn. Next up is the pitching mound. We want to go through the bases at that point, 10 bases. We're leading by example out there, and then we've got to earn respect, right? Because the catcher's calling the plays, right? He's calling the pitches. So just to get into those a little bit, my associate was really big on a couple areas, especially in this first group about leading yourself. He liked to talk about his mom. His mom was a huge influence in his life. He talked about that she told him that if you don't lead by example, people are not going to be able to follow you. So everything you do is really leadership. And he talked about what a privilege it is to be a part of this game. And privilege was a term that we heard over and over again from many players, many managers, that they are honored to be a part of this game. They are honored to be able to play America's national pastime. That and you cannot take that for granted. I think we've all known some players or heard some players that perhaps we might feel in our own right, perhaps have taken that for granted. You know, maybe they don't treat fans well, or they, you know, maybe have the drug abuse issue and things of that nature. But I think that most of the people that we talked to really took it as a privilege and an honor, and they wanted to ensure that. Leading by example, as you mentioned, with almost every manager talked about that. Bud Black was quite big on talking about leading by example. He told me he wanted to be a teacher, a leader, and a motivator, and teaching is a huge piece of what he does. And I do live in San Diego, so I'm at batting practice for the Padres almost every home game, and he always, almost every single game, throws BP. He's out there on the field. It's just like a lot of the managers out there hitting the fungo and out there. So they're leading by example. They're not sitting over there on the sideline. They'll call there and talk to their media buddies later on, but pretty much, this is the time the managers themselves are truly out there on the field with their team. Because, you know, so many times the coaches are leading the different segments of the practice. The coaches are really talking to the players what to do. Batting practice, and it's one of my favorite times of a ball game, to be honest. I love batting practice. It's my favorite. I love the quietness of the ballpark, and you're really seeing the interaction. The boys are being boys. It's just a great part of the day. But I think it's really interesting. That's when the managers are really leading the most, and that's one of the areas that they are most excited about most of the time. And then John Mattingly talked a lot about, because I questioned him about, you know, let's think about the fact that you had such a great playing career, and we could probably talk about Don not getting on the Hall of Fame ballot too, right, or not getting voted in, since we just had that discussion. But he had a phenomenal playing career, and at the time I interviewed him, he was starting his second year of leadership with the Dodgers, which are, of course, not my favorite team being in San Diego, but that's okay. I still love Don Madden. He's a hometown boy for me, being from Evansville, Indiana originally. But he talked about, you know, you don't walk into the clubhouse. A lot of the guys do expect you to have experience. But we know there's been some really phenomenal managers that were not great players, because sometimes a great player does not make a great manager, and sometimes a not-so-great player can make a phenomenal manager. But there's different ways you earn respect. And he talked about how important it was to have trust, to have honesty, to really communicate, let them know what's going on. And I think manager after manager that we talked to and player after player talked about, it's a tough game. There's a lot of difficult messages that have to be brought forward to us. Let's face it, you know, you're not playing today. You are playing today. We need to... you're getting sit down, or you're getting traded. You just went through the trade deadline, was yesterday, so a lot of conversations have taken place over the last couple of weeks. And it's really important, they said, to have those kind of conversations, to be really honest and upfront. That's really the only way to do it. So we get into leading others, and for that we look at the infield, right? We look at first, second, third, and short. That's really, they come together, a very tight-knit group our infield is, and that's where we place the infield pieces of leading others in there, because they all have to work so closely together. For example, Ned Yost, big believer in knowing your people, he says you've got to really know them, because if you've got to know when to push and when to pull. Several of the managers talked about that as well. There's sometimes you might not be able to, they might not be performing like you need them to, but you've got to understand the game, you've got to understand them to understand how to get them working well on the field. So you can't just do that by reading the stats, and we all love the stats, so I think most people in this room enjoy looking at Baseball Reference and figuring out what happened when and all the Saber projects. But it really comes down to what makes an individual work well, what helps them to perform on the field, and when do we need to, I think one of the managers said, you know, sometimes I gotta know when to give them a pat on the back versus a slap on the butt, right? So that, we've gotta know when to do those things. And Ned was pretty big about that. And then Clint Hurdle, now he was pretty funny actually, because he talks about, he really takes time to say hello. I was trying to give him a copy of my book when he was in San Diego, and I was just trying to flag it down. Hey, Clint, yeah, I was like, and he was so busy on the field cultivating those relationships, I almost had trouble giving him a copy. He was out there, he was flitting here and there all over the field, and that's really what it was. Now, the funniest thing was that usually when I give the manager their copy of the book that worked in on the project, I usually have a bookmark to one of their quotes and say, oh, look, here's something that we used from what you told us. And he read it, he said, I must have been drunk the day I told you that. So he was like so funny about it. But I'm like, no, you really believe that. You know you do. Because I just watched you out there again on this field today, how you were out there talking. He talked to almost every single player out there on the field, really cultivating those relationships. We interviewed Brad Mills. He's no longer managing with the Astros, but at the time, he was great about telling us about how he went on hunting trips, fishing trips with the guys. How a lot of managers talk about how the off-season was so important to cultivating those relationships, and many of them do that. And then supporting your people, David Johnson was a great interview, just a phenomenal interview. He's a great, I mean, he gave us a lot of time, and it was really interesting. And we also were fortunate enough to be able to interview in depth, for probably an hour and a half, with Tom Boswell, who followed, you know, he's a columnist, sports columnist for the Washington Post, and he covered the Nationals forever. And he really talked about what a great player's manager Davey was. And I think that came up over and over again. If I had one player tell me, I had every player tell me, I love a player's manager. I want someone that's going to have my back. And I think if I look at surprises in the research when I went in there, you know, especially when you talk about these high-level performing people, right? These are the epitome of what many people hope to become in the baseball industry. They're playing at the major league level. But it was interesting that I would say 90% of something like that said that they wanted their manager, one of the most important qualities for them was for the manager to have their back. And that, and again, we go back to what we just talked about with the trade deadline and how you get sent down to the minors and everything else that happens in baseball. You're designated for assignment. And so how do you have their back and still do that? Well, they say if you're really a player's manager and you understand what it's truly about, what it feels like, and you take time to know me and you have that relationship with me, then I'm okay. I'm okay if it comes down to that we need to, I need to get that difficult message communicated. Bob Melvin's known for his communication big time, and he's big on those messages. He came into the 80s, and he's having some pretty good success right now, I think we'd say. He was actually our very first manager interview. It was in the offseason that we talked to him. And he was great about really letting us know that when he came into that difficult situation with Oakland, he had some kind of scrappy players out there, right? So he had to kind of really sit down and talk to them and say, here's how I see your role. This is what's going to happen. This is when I'm going to use you. So even the backup players understood their role in the team. They understood when he was going to be able to use them. And that really changed the culture. And Craig Breslow was still playing for the A's at the time, and we talked to him quite a bit. And he said, as a matter of fact, we're working with him on his foundation for some of our proceeds. So he was talking about how great Bob was at really communicating that message and changing that whole culture at the A's. And I think we've seen the last couple of years, he's had some really great success. So finally, we go out to the leading the game, and that's kind of the outfield. I look at the outfield, kind of hope the wall holds it together, right? We're kind of putting our arms around the business and what's going to be happening. It's really about performing. It was interesting. At the time I interviewed Ron Reneke, he had just come off having a phenomenal year, but then that year they were really kind of, the Brewers really dropped that year. Now this year they're doing great again. So he talked about how you have to go the ebbs and flow of baseball and how you have to get them and understand the players and you have to know your game really well in order to be able to turn that success around. I think we all know, this is one of the only pictures I didn't take, is that Joe Madden is known for his craziness and all his crazy field trips and such, but what have they won, like 18 in the last, how many games they won recently? They come out of being in the toilet, right? They just totally turned around. It's because he really fosters that teamwork. He can turn around really negative situations, and Joe talks about how he really walked into Tampa Bay and they're always kind of lazy and hanging around and they didn't even know when to put on a uniform and they just thought it was just a game. And he said he had to really swap that culture around, get them to function as a team. And one of the things he did was these funny field trips, right? When he would go on a trip, he would have them dress up. And this is a picture from one of their nerd deals. So they all got on the plane, they show up at the hotel dressed as nerds. And they've gone footy, pajamas, cowboys, you name it, they've done it. It's a very interesting story. And finally, Ron Washington was probably one of my favorite interviews. He's just old school, very fun guy, and he talks forever. There's nothing like if you're interviewing someone, you get someone to talk forever, it's probably a blessing. And so he was really most proud of how he did change the culture. He also is one that came in to Texas, and the Rangers had not been winning, and he came in and was really able to turn them around and get them playoff ready all those years. So he really talked a lot about that. So all the other, you see, we have the diamond. What I like to tell people is the diamond is our environment. Baseball can remind us, again, outside of baseball, I think it tells us the lesson that we all have individual goals, but there's team goals. And we're not going to be successful unless we do those things together, right? You can have an all-star player on a bad team, but you've got to all work together to be successful. And baseball, as we know, also is a game of loss, right? When you're a 400 batter, it's phenomenal and an all-star for sure. So I think baseball teaches it's okay to lose, it's okay to take risks. We can still be hugely successful if we have some failures in life now and then. And finally, one of my favorite things about baseball is the fact that when we do win, we take time to celebrate, and too often in our lives we do not do that. So baseball teaches us that we can celebrate, and we can be like these guys out there making multi-million dollar contracts when the walk-off comes, they still have this whole mosh pit and they're jumping on top of each other. And how often do we take the time to jump up on, I thought, let's do that? We don't. We're too uptight most of the time. So we've got to really learn how to be more like these guys on the baseball field. And, yeah, let's celebrate that. So I think that's really important. So I'll take questions at that point.
Hi, Rebecca. I'm wondering, some of the managers you talked to, maybe Johnson, Clint Hurdle, have been fired from the station. I'm wondering what insight they gave you on their shortcomings or their failures.
I think a lot of them talk about, sometimes it's just not a good fit. Sometimes, as we know, just like the players, and they're up and down, they may go to another team and be really successful, it may not have been the right time for them. And they learn from that. They learn what they need to do next. Sometimes they alter, but sometimes it's just a matter of fit. I mean, we've seen a lot of great CEOs in the world, too, that are really fired from here. They go over there and make this company a multi-billion dollar company. So I think they just see it as part of their experience package.
Anybody else?
Okay.
What's the name of the book you mentioned?
Oh, it's Lead Me Out to the Ball Game.
Now, this is sort of a general question about leadership, but do you think that leadership is for people who are born to be leaders or not to be made to be leaders? Because if you see a player on the field and saying, man, that guy could be a perfect manager, you are meaning that he's a natural leader?
Yeah, I think that there are certain things that we are born with that helps us to be a natural leader. There's certain charisma, there's certain ways we talk and handle ourselves, but I believe that people, and my dissertation was on leadership, so I do feel comfortable talking about this, I do believe we can all become better leaders, that every person out there can learn how to lead themselves, and that's going to help them learn to lead others. So I think it's a combination, but I think certain people do play on their given abilities more than others.
I'm just wondering, you talk about celebrating how important that is. Sometimes I have a little bit of a hard time when I see a team 20 games under 500 and they hit a walk-off and win a game and jumping up and down like it's the 7th game of the World Series. You want to comment on those kinds of celebrations?
Well, I think it's important because sometimes, especially a team that's not doing well, and I think it's for ourselves as well, sometimes we have to take time to have those little celebrations because they will motivate us, they will fire us up, they will help us see if I keep on this path, we can win. It shows us we have the capability of winning and we have accomplished it together. And I think that's what that shows when those teams are doing that. It's like, we did this together. We made it happen when people thought we wouldn't do it. So I do think that's important.
In the abstract, it said that you they filled out surveys, and so I assume you have a lot of data on all this. Have you noticed things that successful managers versus unsuccessful managers, like managers that had bonkers versus managers that flamed out in 2 years? Have you noticed things that the characteristics the good ones had versus things that happened?
Yeah, that's a great question. And we didn't get as many surveys as we wanted, which is why we kept mostly qualitative. I mean, even though we walked around the clubhouse with surveys, the guys are just not really into using a pen and paper. So they just didn't look like that. They were more about playing Word with friends on their phones. So, and that's really their number one thing to do in the clubhouse. So I think it's interesting, but these characteristics that we're talking about, really, the managers that have been successful, it really is about, do they lead by example? Are they excited to get up in the morning? And do they take time to build relationships? Too often, we worry about managing the game, the strategy, or we worry about, you know, what I'm doing, and we don't take time. I've had so many managers in business say, oh, I don't have time to talk to my employees. Well, that's your job. I mean, they're your employees. I mean, you would not be a manager without your employees. So you need to spend your time there. And the really successful managers do spend most of their time really getting to other people and building those relationships.
Good question. Did you find any leadership capabilities with baseball that would not be used in other sports like football or basketball? Was there anything peculiar just in baseball?
That's a great question. I mean, we'd actually toyed when we first started this project about, oh, well, you know, this we're going to do. Basically, we're going to do football, and maybe we'll do basketball, and, you know, we're, and then by the time we get down to this 2.5-year project, we're like, no, we're done, so, you know, we're going to do that. But I think it's really people. I think we get right down to, there might be little bitty things that we do differently, the way contracts are managed, and that's true in business as well, different contractual issues happen. So I think there are certain little intricacies, but I think when it comes down to who the leader is and how they lead, I think that really it transcends whatever industry you're in.
All right. That's about enough time. Thank you all very much.
Anybody, this is like a limited quantity with me.